I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest review, Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths, Part 2.
Directed by Jeff Womister, Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 is the animated superhero film based on the DC Comics characters and story. This is the ninth movie in the Tomorrowverse. The movie is out now, but if you haven't watched Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 yet and you want to, go watch it first before listening to our full review. We will be talking spoilers.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So, Luke, what is Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 about?
The Anti-Monitor, the Monitor's evil counterpart, is released into the DC multiverse and begins to destroy the different Earths that compose it. The Monitor attempts to recruit heroes from across the multiverse to fight back.
All right, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sit back for a bit. I'm going to let you talk about this movie, talk about your feelings, just wherever you want to start. Just give me your thoughts on the second part of this Crisis on Infinite Earths trilogy that is bringing the Tomorrowverse to a conclusion. Go, my friend. Speak.
It's just going to be for the rest of the review, and then you're going to join in. You're going to join in at the end.
My final thoughts.
Review rating. Okay. It's interesting with these films. I mean, going back to Superman, Man of Tomorrow, which started the Tomorrowverse, for the most part, I have really enjoyed them. The weakest one for me still is the Legion of Superheroes movie, which is pretty much a Supergirl movie. Supergirl is a big part of this movie. We got her a little bit, and then we got to see that she became Harbinger in Crisis Part 1. But anyway, with these movies, for the most part, I've liked them. What I've done for the last three films now, I'm talking Justice League, Warworld, Crisis Part 1, and this one, I've watched them twice. Because I watched it that first time and got to the end, and I've honestly thought to myself, I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I need to go in a second time. So this movie, like, I went out and got the Blu-ray, like I've done with all the others, and watched it that night, and that following morning, I watched it a second time. Because I thought, I need to know. Like, did I like this? Am I trying to like it more than I did on that first viewing? There's certainly things to like, but these movies are far from perfect. They started in a much better place when we got Justice Society, World War II. That was really good. The Flash, the JSA. I did enjoy the Green Lantern, Beware My Power film, but they haven't been consistent. They really haven't. What I did find interesting with this, and you're going to have to join in at some point, what I did find interesting with this, right? So we've got the character, Charles Halstead, Psycho Pirate. So he's voiced by Jeffrey Urend. Now, I thought he was British, an American actor. That's okay. You know, he's an actor. He's got range. But what we've got here, they've changed the design of Psycho Pirate slightly from, you know, you go back to Crisis, the original comic in 85. His mask is like solid gold. So you've got no expression. So it makes sense why they would change the mask for the movie, because the character, he's got such a big part to play, and then you need to see the expressions under the mask. That's a small change that they've made, but they've changed his power set as well. So the character Psycho Pirate is the anchor of this movie, and it connects to previous Tomorrowverse movies, namely the JSA movie World War II, where it was revealed that Charles was a telepath working for the Nazis. He brainwashed Aquaman. It was a whole thing. We got to see it in that movie. It comes back in this. And then you got that whole scene with him and Dr. Fate. He's using some of his powers, which allows him to jump between realities, making him a much bigger player than we were first led to believe. And I think even how he was in the comics. But he's a focus in this, and the other focus is Supergirl. And you're getting her relationship with the monitor. And I don't know if you got this as well, but for me, I was getting strong Thanos and Gamora vibes from Guardians. That wasn't the relationship in the comics. It's new for this movie, but it was definitely like that. And the amount of times that you would see, like, the monitor would turn, he'd grimace, you'd see him look side on. It's like, oh, they're just doing Thanos.
Thanos look for sure. That's my chime.
Okay. But it really is. Again, like, I feel I don't just want this to be one-sided. You're gonna have to join in more. It starts off with Batman and the Bat family. That was interesting. In fact, do you know what? The first part, rated PG. This one, it's an M. So I thought, okay, so they're gonna be a little bit edgy with this one. Pretty much the first thing that Batman says in this, damn that bastard. And what he's talking about is the Joker who has jokerized Commissioner Gordon with his Joker gas, and the Bat family turn up, but this is still the Tomorrowverse Batman. So all the other characters are from different Earths where Batman is older. So we've got a grown-up Dick Grayson. I like the design of Batgirl in here. This it's cool. We knew going in that Will Friedle was going to be back as Terry McGinnis Batman. This whole opening, I don't even think he says a word. And I was like, oh shit, is the character just going to be in it and have no dialogue? But later on, he gets some dialogue. So we get that cool Batman opening. We do still have the two Supermen, but they take more of a back seat because that first part, it's the Flash's movie. He's your anchor. And then again, you've got Psycho Pirate here. So it's like the Flash in the first part, Supergirl in part two. If you look at what happened in the original Crisis comic, there's two characters that died: Barry Allen the Flash, Kara Zor-El Supergirl. So it's interesting that they're focusing on those two characters. Is it setting them up for the sacrifice in part three? But I'm just going to let you come in here just to give me a break.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time. Have some water. Do what you need. Like with the part one having that focus on the Flash, even though I still had many, many issues with it, at least it still had that focus. Now, you're right, like this one does has a little bit more attention on, Supergirl or Harper or whatever you want to call it. And, like there's certain Supermans that we're following and Batman and stuff. But I think there's still an overall issue that in this one, there isn't really that main anchor. Like, yeah, there are some characters that get a little bit more attention and focus, but they're not primarily our focus point for the movie to follow a through line of a cohesive story. There's a lot of pidgey podgy, just a bunch of stuff like just crammed together. And in a movie where you are getting characters from different iterations, version in a multiverse kind of stuff, there's a lot of fun little things to have. You've already gone over a whole bunch of them. A lot of like very like deep, DC stuff, whether you're familiar with the Crisis stories or certain characters from different comic iterations and all that. There's a lot of nuance to sort of pick up on bits and pieces. Like how I'm approaching, these movies and this one specifically is that like, look, are you delivering me a cohesive story that's entertaining, gripping, that I'm following? It's like you throw all these characters at me from these different multiverse things, and we should be getting excited and be like, hey, look, yeah, and maybe some audience members, maybe like yourself, like you are, but for me, it's just washing over like nothing. Because again, I think the main problem is that obviously they're basing a lot of this stuff on this Tomorrowverse or these entries in this Tomorrowverse series. And yeah, we had some bangers like that first Superman one, the Batman Long Halloween, but otherwise, there's a lot of other characters we haven't we never really got the opportunity to see them come together in a cohesive way, that we're being thrown into this. Suddenly it's very chaotic. There are worlds being destroyed in this movie, but there's no weight to that, you know, like entire planets are being destroyed. Timelines are being wiped out. But again, I'm not feeling anything from it because I'm like, why should I care? There's nothing that's setting anything up or bringing us, you know, except for me sitting there being like, oh, I'm supposed to feel distressed or sad by these things happening. Like, unless I tell myself that, it doesn't just, like, the movie's not doing that. It's not affecting me, because that's what this is. It's just hiji-poji. I don't know if that's a real term, but it's just a whole bunch of stuff that's happening. There's nothing cohesive in this.
You need to know what you've lost. Like, they do in the opening. I think he's one of the Robins that says something on the lines of, like, who died and put you in charge, to Batman. And he says, everybody on Earth 3. Well, that was a callback to the first part where the Earth with the just, or the, where the Earth with the crime syndicate were from. Their world died. So at least we did get to spend some time on a world and met some characters. But when it's just numbered worlds, like this Earth has now died and this Earth, it's hard to really feel
invested. It takes it away, doesn't it? Like
it does. You're right. Like, yeah,
we have had a bit of history and we've explored a, you know, particular world storylines or whatever. But yeah, again, like when they like that throw line, and again, like that opening sequence with, like, you know, let's call them the Batman characters and stuff, and, you know, the Joker and all that stuff happening. It's like, you know, that's, I'm like, oh, this is pretty fun. Like, we're getting, it's pretty wacky. There's characters coming in, and yeah, clearly they're all from different places. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, it's just sort of harkening back to almost like, you know, the old Batman cartoons and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's just nutty stuff going on. They're in their cars, all this stuff's going. But then, you know, then it starts to get a little bit more serious, which is, you know, where this movie should be going. But again, yeah, like a line like, you know, like everyone who died on Earth 3. Yeah, like, what does that mean? And even though there is an answer to that, it's sort of like in that moment, I'm like, I don't want to sit here and keep track of what planet each character or dimension, world, Earth, each of these characters are like. I want to be able to just easily feel what's happening. And like, yeah, all of that impact, there's nothing there. It's so, again, look, there's fun action sequences. You know, one woman comes in, kicks some ass. There's stuff going on.
And it was interesting where Wonder Woman, she met Queen Hippolyta, and she, you know, was from a world where Amazons rule, essentially. And the back and forth that she had with Diana, who's obviously not quite her daughter, but another Wonder Woman. Yeah. There's interesting things there. But if you go back,
There's like these ideas that are like, they are interesting. I'm like, cool, I would love to explore that more.
But they're running out of films. They've got one left. They've got one film left. If you go back to Justice League War World, you had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, time displaced. And then they met at the end. And then they turned up in, well, they set up Crisis Part One, didn't they? And then that's what the movie was. But we spent like that whole movie, War World, of them finding each other. And then with these Crisis movies, they're not even together yet. That they got together and now they're not. It has to be them three together. The third part has to be about them three at the center. I am expecting The Flash to die, Supergirl to die, but what they really need to do something about is, you've got the Monitor, who is, you know, he's given into the Anti-Monitor. I did like that he had those shadow creatures, and it's like, it's not multiple creatures, it's one big entity. Big bad at the end, cliffhanger. That was interesting. Anyway, they need to find a purpose for all these other heroes that the Monitor has collected that are just standing around his spaceship. They're standing around not doing anything. We talked about the live-action Arrowverse 5-part Crisis on Infinite Earth special when we did our part one review, and they did a very good job of that. But they were limited by the Arrowverse characters, which for me, it helped them. And yes, they had some guest stars like John Wesley Shipp reprised his role as 90s Flash, Barry Allen. Brandon Routh came back as a Superman. That was all cool, but for the most part, they were limited to the Arrowverse characters. And yes, they did have a few of them, but they were limited. This is animation. You know, you can imagine somebody working on the movie, being a fan of a random DC character and just drawing that character into the background, but it doesn't serve any real purpose to the That's story. It. It's just another person standing around.
And within the story here, like, we've got the monitor, and you know, at first he's like, we don't interfere, we don't do that kind of stuff. Then he, you know, eventually comes around and he wants to recruit these heroes from these different worlds to come together and, you know, kick some ass. And I had this same issue with, you know, that first season of, you know, Marvel's What If, where it was like, you know, the Watcher had these infinite worlds that he could pull these heroes from. And it was just like this ragtag team of different characters, which brought together, created a team. Like in here, like again, like the monitor has access to all these characters, many different versions of these characters. Like, why not just get 1,000 versions of Superman or more, or any other sort of overpowered superhero characters to take on? Like, why just get, I've got 3 Supermans. Here's a Wonder Woman from his 2 Batmans. Here's a couple Robins. Like, It doesn't make any sense. And I know that would just destroy the whole premise of the thing. Like, they would beat it. But it's just, I don't know. He has access to all these characters, all these versions of them. And it's just, but even just the idea of the fact that, like, you know, we've got our Trinity just not together. Like, like, why?
That's a waste. Because they spent a whole movie bringing them together.
Yeah, well, and what's the title? What's the title of this movie? Right? Justice League. I've not seen the Justice League in these movies yet.
That is,
like, I've seen characters.
A good point. I mean, they've been in it separately, but the opening of this movie, it's the Bat Family. It's, yeah.
Like, how is this a Justice League movie? It's like, it's not. And if the argument is, well, in the third part, we're going to get this epic thing and these characters are going to come together. And it's just like, what have we been doing for 2 movies? Like, they had this opportunity to do this 3-part Crisis on Infinite Earth thing. Like, what are these, about 100 minutes each? Like, which is fairly long for these animated features. Like, these are over
I was just going to say, each one is 90 minutes. We are 3 hours in. Right. They're a solid minutes.
And another 90 odd minutes, right? Like, for part
it's
3.
It's a 4.5-hour epic across 3 movies. That is what they're doing.
But if you break down what has happened so far in the 3 hours, it's like the anti-monitor has come and has destroyed some worlds. That's literally it. And you can say, oh, you know, but we've got, you know, we had the Flash bouncing around time in that first one doing things, and some characters come together, and, you know, Supergirl's over there doing stuff, and, you know, like, Wonder Woman's fighting some people here and Batman's dealing with this. Yeah, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, do those individual small moments mean anything for this grand scale epic thing that is Crisis? No, I don't know what's going on. Like, why has nothing happened in 3 hours?
You know, I've been recommending to you, and I know you're going to start it, X-Men 97. It is 10 half-hour episodes. Imagine if that was the approach to this. Maybe not even 10 episodes, like putting it out as a TV miniseries. But dragging it out across 3 90-minute movies. And even if, like, they make the best part 3, we've had to get there. Like, it's not like, or maybe it'll fit together. I don't know. I did go back and watch part 1 again ahead of watching part 2 twice, as I said.
I can't help but just constantly look back at what the Tomorrowverse has been and how it could have been done. You know, like, you had that great introduction Superman movie, you know, you have the double introduction Batman movies, you know, like, do the thing. Obviously, like, just make that Supergirl movie what it was, a Supergirl movie, but then have some other movies in between where you had the Justice League coming together, actually build up to this crisis thing, and then, like, so we just so we didn't have to spend part one, having sort of like a time travel flashback of this is the Justice League being formed, like them rocking up at whose house did they rock up at? Bruce Wayne's house or something? I don't know wherever they ended
It
up.
was Bruce Wayne's house. It
Bruce
was the
Wayne's house?
end of it was at the end
Because
of
that was.
Long Halloween. That's
Because
where
again,
that happened. But we
it
didn't
just
know
seemed
then
like.
that they had a wounded Superman in the back of the car. We didn't know that at the end of Long Halloween. I'll
Yeah.
say this, right, to put something positive on it, right, because they've come out and said that this was the plan all along. So they knew they were going to get 10 films. They knew they were ending with Crisis on Infinite Earths. So what they wanted to do, knowing where they were going to end up, they could work backwards. So details like having not Psycho Pirate, but under a different identity, having Charles Halstead be a character in Justice Society World War II, when you go back and watch it, is pretty cool. It does fit. It works. Like the building blocks are there because they knew where they were going to end up. But unfortunately, they really are dragging the feet with
Yeah, it's
Crisis
like
Part One and Part Two.
the building blocks seem to be those very kind of minute details, which really should have been more like they're the cherry on the top kind of connective tissue stuff, where it's like, oh man, they really delved into all these details that we didn't really think much of at the time. But the actual building blocks should have been those key moments, like the Justice League forming in this, in this continuity, not seeing it through a time travel flashback kind of thing, like that kind of stuff, like those, these key characters, Wonder Woman and stuff, like should have been firmly established in all the, like, at the end of the day, it's like we're gonna get 10 movies, right? Like 10 90-minute exploration of these characters in this world, this continuity. And I'm like, how much of these characters have we really explored and got to know? And it just seems like not really much at all. And I feel like even though we had a solid, using Superman as an example, that solid first entry for him, when you get to this movie and you're seeing this Superman doing, I feel like knowing everything that happened in that first movie is irrelevant. Like, it doesn't influence what's happening to the character now in this at all. It literally could be any version of Superman. Like, it. And that's not to say that the consistency in the character isn't there or anything like that. It's just there's nothing impactful that makes any of it relevant. And that goes the same for Batman and I guess the others. Like, even
Well, Earth
Supergirl, like,
2,
literally,
I was going to say
I didn't need.
Earth 2 Superman, he's gone. He's died. And then a version of Wonder Woman and him were lovers. Like this is an older version of the characters. So we're now down to one Superman, which is the Tomorrowverse one. So maybe that was strategic, clearing the decks a little bit for
Well,
what's going to come next. I mean, hey, like Batman: The Long Halloween parts one and two, fantastic. They did such a good job with
yeah, Blu-ray, the double, the deluxe
yeah, and I got the
package.
single Blu-rays. Yeah, no, they did a really good job with that adaption, incorporating it as part of the Tomorrowverse. Remember when we reviewed Green Lantern: Beware My Power, and there hadn't been a Justice League, but they were doing time jumps. So you're watching that movie, and not only has the Justice League been formed, but off camera, you've now got somebody like Vixen on the team. He's oh, okay. Like, they're like throwing different characters at us. And then in Crisis Part One, you quickly see those edits of the Justice League coming together, the Hall of Justice, and all of that. Yeah, it's been an interesting approach, hasn't it? But we've got one film left, and no doubt DC Animation, they're going to start the whole thing again. Or maybe they'll just stick to what James Gunn has been talking about. They've got the Creature Commandos animated series and it's apparently all going to be connected with the movies and having the same actors voicing animation, live action, video games, all of that. Yeah, I was hoping for more from part two and.
The third one's going to wrap this all up. I mean, the question is, when does this third one come out so we can put this to rest?
I mean, part two came out in April. We got part one, I think, was it January, like beginning of the year? So I'm thinking September, October,
All
maybe
right,
September.
clearing the board for 2025 when I guess the new DC Universe kicks off. So,
That's it.
okay.
But again, like I have said, like I don't know if it's because I'm trying to force myself to like these movies more. But each one before reviewing them, starting with Justice League, War World, I've watched them twice. That's not a standard approach that I have when we're reviewing something.
Unless,
Once
of
is
course, you're like,
normally,
wow, that was great. I want to
yeah.
watch it again.
But once
Or
is
when I.
normally enough. And I think it's the fact that I'm going out like day of release, I'm heading to JB Hi-Fi and I'm buying the Blu-ray. And then that night I'm watching it. So it is a little event for me. I am looking forward to it. Like it's still something I legitimately do look forward to. And maybe I'm just hyping it up too much. So when the end credits roll, I'm like, oh, did I like it? I don't know. And I wake up the next morning, I'm like, I need to watch it again. Anyway, I think
We've
we're.
been hyping these. We've been hyping these since the. We were like, "Oh, War World's coming. That's got to be the big thing." And
That's
then it's like,
the
"Okay, that was to set up
one.
Crisis. Well, that's got to be the big thing." And then we're 2 parts into it, and
Well,
oh,
with
God.
part one, I think we're saying, like, well, we've had the introductions now. So part two, they can just get into it. And then,
Oh,
part three, they can really bring it home.
I think we should bring it home. If you want to rate, I'm not saying the title of the movie again. If you want to rate this movie,
It's a mouthful, isn't it? It is a long
Justice
title.
League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. There it is.
Would I recommend this to a comic book fan? This is my easy out here. Yes, I would. Is the things that I like about this movie? Yes, there is. I mean, it's fine, and I do. Yeah, it is cool seeing some more obscure DC characters, but they don't actually contribute anything. There's definitely things to like, and I've always enjoyed the character of Supergirl, and there really is, that parallel, Thanos and Gamora, and there's no way that wasn't intentional. But again, on the basis that I would recommend this to a fan of comic books, I'm going to come in at a three, which I'm sticking with. I don't know if I quite agree with it, but I'm going to, yeah, do you know what? Yep. Three out of five, and fingers crossed for part three. Please be good.
I think we're gonna like fingers crossed for like a 5 out of 5 for
Oh,
part three.
no, just give me a good three. I'll be happy with
Well,
that. What about yourself?
I'll tell you, I'm not gonna give it a three.
I knew that was coming.
Look, I really love this movie. Now look, unfortunately, like even though there's interesting concepts and things that this movie could have explored, and it seems to be, teetering around, overall, like there's not enough here to make you, well, at least myself, like to make me care enough about anything that's going on, and that shouldn't happen. Like worlds are getting destroyed, characters are getting wiped out of existence, and that should mean something, and it just doesn't. And I feel like because of that, like this movie is just failing on that, which is a shame because it's like we've spoke about the animation in previous reviews, like, and this style, like, I really dig. Like there has been some good introduction to some of these characters, but like at this one, it's just hodgy podgy, splish splash, all this stuff here, there, and everywhere. Even when Constantine rocks up and he's like, oh, I can do my stuff again, I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, I should care, and I know I should care, but I'm like, I just don't. That's pretty much the experience I had. It's like there's stuff here that should be better than it is, a lot better, and it's just not delivering. And at this point, I really shouldn't be surprised, but I keep going and thinking this is be one that'll just knock it out, and they just haven't been doing it. I don't know why, how these are being put together or why they've been put together like this, but yeah, I'm still reeling from it. But I'll come in at a 1.5 out of 5. This is a pretty, I don't know if this is worse than this than part one, because I kind of remember what I gave that one, but I think
I
it is.
think you gave part one out of five, to be honest,
Oh, okay.
from
Well.
memory. You just mentioned Constantine there. Yes, we did see him in part one, as the old homeless guy. Once again, voiced by Matt Ryan, who first played him in live action in the short-lived NBC TV series. Then we saw him again as part of the Arrowverse. Going all the way back to Justice League War, that continuity, which was adapting the New 52 comics, that ended with Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. And we thought that that was it. They were done. But the Constantine that is appearing in this movie is that same Constantine from Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So they're still connecting them. So anyway, just wait and see where part three takes
As
us.
I said, I should care about that. I
Oh, see, I
don't.
do. I do. And that's why it's a 3 out of 5.
All right, well, you enjoy that three. That's it for our review of goddamn Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent reviews of The Fall Guy and Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, and stay tuned for our upcoming review of Unfrosted.
You've been listening to Jason.
And you've been listening to Luke.
We're the guys from that film, Stu. See you soon.